Welcome to this week's Behind the Headlines. I'm your host, Katie O'Connell, and I'm bringing you a little something special today. Each year, editor Greg Borowski writes a fictional Christmas story. A few of our staff members have pitched in to bring it to life for you. I hope you enjoy it. Here's this year's Journal Sentinel Christmas story, A Stitch in Time.
Will Conover stood outside the door, holding a small poinsettia, its base wrapped in green foil, his six-year-old daughter, suddenly shy, hiding behind his legs. He bent down and looked into her eyes.
Now, I need you to talk to her, okay, sweetie?
The little girl nodded. Will looked at the clock down the long hallway, where a pair of residents were chatting in their wheelchairs. 10 minutes, he thought to himself. Her first-grade class was part of her school's Adopt-a-Grandparent program with Parkview Manor. The kids each got a poinsettia to deliver to their Madge. Then when they came back to sing Christmas carols, the kids each ate lunch with their new friend. He wasn't supposed to have Maddie today, but he awoke at 6:15 a.m. to the loud beeping of a car, followed by a knock on his door. Maddie bringing a cup of coffee, black, and an apology from her mother, who had been called in to work at the hospital. Will had worked third shift the night before and could only offer a groggy wave of acknowledgement from his front porch. Now he double-checked the room number and knocked. After a moment, the door opened a crack.
Yes?
Hi, I'm here from the school. Well, we both are. Madison, come out here. And, well, you know, this is the program from St. Matthias, and...
With the mention of the parish, the old lady smiled and edged the door open again. After a moment, Will realized that this was a sign to come in. The room was a jumble of furniture and boxes. The kitchen counter included a pile of paperback mysteries, a one-plate microwave oven, and a stack of dishes, with mail from at least a week spread out in front, catalogs mostly. In the corner, there was a small Christmas tree, boxes labeled lights and ornaments underneath. The old lady sat in a rocking chair, a newspaper on the table next to her, an in-progress blanket on her lap, knitting needles steadily moving, all attached to a ball of yarn that rolled across the floor as if it were in search of a kitten. He set the poinsettia on the table and found a corner of the couch. Madison took a spot on his knee.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Is Christmas coming?
She looked around the room. The words on the whiteboard read, Saturday, December 17th. And her unlit tree was in the corner. The old lady fell back into the present.
Yes, Christmas will be here in no time.
She offered a smile, then returned to her knitting. Will tried small talk. The weather, the place, the food, all, she said, were terrible.
I'll be moving back home soon. Got everything packed up in these boxes.
The conversation was a series of dead ends. Every time she looked up, it was as if everything started over, often from the same place. She nodded toward Maddie.
And who is this?
Before Will could answer, Maddie jumped from his knee and ran toward the window.
Snow!
Outside, a blur of flakes twirled and danced in the air, offering a sense of liveliness and excitement that was missing inside.
I'm Will. That's Maddie. She really has been looking forward to this, but, you know, it's the first real snow of the year, and...
That morning, Maddie had heard the snow was coming, got out her bright blue snowsuit, the one that stayed at his house, and drew a picture of the snowman she wanted them to build. Now she was by the window, ignoring his sharp glances.
Maddie, come over and talk to Mrs.
He realized he had forgotten her name and fumbled in his jacket pocket for the piece of paper. Verna Cranklinburg, 83.
Just call me Mrs. K. Grandma K.
He looked around the room again, thinking they should offer to do something to help her. The dishes? Put lights on the tree? But now Maddie was hiding behind the boxes and...
Madison Ann Conover, come over here right now!
The old lady looked up from her knitting. This time her eyes sharper, as if the name had roused a forgotten memory. She sized him up carefully, as if trying to place him.
You know, you look exactly like your father. Yes, you sure do.
As Will pulled the door closed, he saw the old lady slowly lift a hand from her lap to catch a tear rolling down her cheek. When they got back to his house, they each settled into their own space, still frustrated with each other. Maddie had misbehaved, so there would be no snowman. Instead, she sat in front of her toy shelf, puzzle pieces laid out on the carpet. Will clicked through the channels on the TV. He only saw Maddie every other weekend, and now blamed his own impatience for ruining their unexpected day together. He replayed the nursing home visit in his head, and kept returning to the old lady's comment about his father. The town was a small one, 2 schools, 3 churches. It wasn't unusual to run into people who knew his family, though for most, including Will himself, its history remained fuzzy. His father had been killed overseas at 27. That he knew. And once that flag was unfolded from his casket, his mother, 20, simply left. She was from North Carolina or somewhere down south. Couldn't handle the small town, they said, and the scrutiny that came with living in it. Will marked his first birthday in foster care, then his second, then his third. His youth was a string of placements until he aged out, finished high school, and got a job at the foundry where he still worked, at least when it ran a third shift. His own father, he knew, had been adopted, but the court record had been sealed, so whenever a detail emerged, he tried to connect it to others, his own perpetual puzzle. Now he paged through a photo album pulled from a box of his father's belongings that he kept under his bed. He tried to see himself in his father's face, but couldn't. Will had gone to the same school, of course, and tromped along the same piles of snow that were plowed against the same fence.
Come on, Maddie, let's go build that snowman.
Really?
She came over and plopped onto the couch next to him, looking over his shoulder and pointed.
That's the picture.
That's your grandfather, a long time ago.
No, that's the picture the poinsettia lady had.
Maddie stood nervously near the old piano. The Christmas program was over. Her class, dressed as snowflakes, had gone last. Now most of the kids had found their matches and were chatting at the tables or were in line for juice and cookies. A third grade girl, who at 8 years old was a veteran of these Christmas sings, walked up and offered to help. Maddie only knew her match was Gran McKay. The two girls eventually found an old lady seated by herself in the corner who motioned them over.
Do you remember me?
Yes.
Good. You must be my match.
The two sat at the table. After some awkward moments, they decided to pretend as if Maddie was the queen, the old lady a visitor. The juice was tea, the cookies were crumpets. After a while, it was Maddie who changed the topic.
Do you have grandkids?
Just one grandson.
Is he my age?
Oh, no. But that's how I remember him.
Gran McKay had her knitting in her lap, and as they talked, she worked the needles. Maddie was captivated by it.
You're perfect at that.
But Grandma Kay explained she really wasn't perfect, that the key whenever you dropped a stitch was you didn't look back and kept on going, as if you always intended it that way. In time, she would sew shut the small holes. She pointed to a few dropped stitches.
You see, I like to say it makes it more unique.
Like a snowflake.
Now she held up her project, a small cap with ear flaps. It was nearly done. Over the years, she had probably knitted hundreds of them. One time she was written up in the Daily Chronicle. She lived across from the school, and when she saw a kid on the playground without a hat, she would knit a special one and send it over. But that was many, many years ago. Those kids had grown up, so had their kids. In time, Verna Kranklenberg withdrew from the world around her, from friends and neighbors. A short marriage didn't last. She started talking about her son having died, but no one knew her to have a son, or any family at all. Her house went dark, and she became a recluse. The kids at the school took to calling her Old Mrs. Crank. Now that she was in the nursing home, years of her history packed into boxes, she felt even more disconnected, her mind wandering between the present and the past.
I gave one of these caps to your grandfather once.
I don't have a grandfather.
Grandma Kay was silent. If her mind was clearer, she could tell Maddie more about how Maddie's grandfather was her son, how she gave him up for adoption but regretted it, and moved in across from the school so she could see him every day. How in the years after he died, she followed his son, her grandson, on the playground until one day he switched schools and she lost track of him.
Well, you must have a grandmother.
No, If I don't have a grandfather, how can I have a grandmother?
To that, there was no good answer, but she tried one anyway.
If you'd like a grandmother, you know what you can do, right?
Yes, ask Santa.
A few days later, Will Conover found himself back at Parkview Manor and back outside room 375. Maddie had lost a mitten when they first visited, and he came back to retrieve it. Before he could knock, he heard a voice from behind.
Can I help you?
He turned. It was the old lady. Well, Verna, that is Grandma Kay. He was uncertain just what to call her. She opened the door and he followed her inside. She insisted he stay for coffee. As she went to boil water, Will found himself glancing around the apartment. The room was the same, though the Christmas tree had been decorated. They both sat down.
I'm going home soon.
You are?
Yes, in no time.
They talked about how her grandson had finally come to visit her and would take her home. About how her house was across from the school. About how she always had liked to watch the kids on the playground.
I remember that house. We were so scared of it as kids. One time I fell down in front of it and my friend Andrew and I, we ran and ran.
The tea kettle whistled. As she headed to the kitchen, Will got up and wandered over to the tree.
I'm going to get these lights plugged in for you.
When he was done, Will noticed a photo tucked inside a faded frame. Black and white, the same kid, the same lopsided grin as in his album at home. Will looked more closely. Something was different about the photo, as if it was off kilter, on a different day or taken on the same day but from a slightly different angle. He held it up.
This is a great picture. Who is it?
Oh, that's my son.
Before he could respond, there was a knock on the door. Will had left his car double parked and now needed to move it. When he returned, he found the old lady asleep on her chair, a knitting project still on her lap, steam rising from her cup of coffee. He did not want to disturb her. He went to the counter and picked up Maddie's mitten. It sat next to a small package, neatly wrapped, with Madison's name on it. He tucked it under his arm and quietly closed the door. On his way out, he stopped at the nurse's station and got the attention of the woman on duty.
Hey, the old lady in 375, the one who's moving back home soon?
Is that what she told you? You know, if you believe everyone here, they're all going home soon.
She explained that Mrs. Cranklinburg had just arrived a few months earlier. She could no longer live on her own. Her only visitor each week was the pastor, who was new to town, so she didn't even recognize him.
Social services brought her in here. I don't expect they'll be letting her leave.
But she said she had a son and family.
You see this hall? This is the memory care unit. It's sad, really. But you'll hear all kinds of stories if you stop to listen. Why, just the other day, Mrs. Cranklinburg said the Queen of England had come to visit her, and they had tea and crumpets.
Will felt a blur of emotions. For a moment, he was certain he had found his father's mother. Now, he realized, it was just a random photo and wishful thinking. He started to say something, but realized the nurse had turned away.
Tea and crumpets. Next time it'll be coffee with the president.
On Christmas morning, Maddie was the last one awake. Her mother had dropped her off at midnight. The agreement called for Will to have her on Christmas Day this year, and he insisted on every possible minute. When Maddie came out of her room, they opened the presents, but Will could sense her disappointment.
Is that all there are?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, honey.
It's okay. It's just Santa didn't bring me what I really wanted.
Will remembered the gift from Mrs. Cranklinburg. He pulled it down from atop the refrigerator and handed it to her.
Well, there is one more.
Maddie tore it open and pulled aside the tissue paper to reveal a hand-knit cap, but not just any old cap. The yellow yarn at its base was fashioned to look like a crown, complete with beads sewn in to look like jewels.
My crown. She remembered.
Your crown?
Yes. When my class was there, Grandma Kay and I talked, and I was a queen, and we had tea and trumpets, and...
You mean crumpets?
Yeah, that's it.
She showed her father the cap. He took it in his hands and examined it. Without a word, he got up and pulled out the box of his father's belongings. The old photos, a baseball glove, his enlistment papers. As he remembered, at the bottom was a hand-knit hat. Each of the hats looked fine at first, But when Will looked closer, it was clear stitches had been dropped or skipped. But the maker had just kept on going, as if there was no time to go back and undo the error, as if each twirl of the needle marked a fresh start.
Get your coat on.
Why?
We're going to see your grandmother. And mine too.
I hope you enjoyed that reading. Many thanks to Greg Borowski for reading the narration to his story, and to his daughter Annalise for reading Maddie's part. Managing editors Jill Williams and Tom Ketting were Grandma Kay and Will, respectively, and I read the part of the nurse. Thanks to Kevin Crow for his help with this episode as well. Happy holidays from everyone at the Journal Sentinel. We hope you have an incredible time celebrating. Join us next week as we walk you through the biggest and best headlines of 2016. Take care until then, and again, happy holidays.